telling people sale extended is a lot. You have terms and conditions, and this is going to be the day that it's going to end. And then you're like, JK, that's not the day that it's going to end. Like, it's just not something that I would want to tell somebody in person. Branch, treat the customer as if it's like your mother or your grandmother is a customer. You want to be honest. You want to be upfront and forward. Put a great offer out there, but be honest about it, especially if you have, you know, an older customer. Like, don't try to trick them. I think that's what I kind of can't get on board with that I've seen a lot this year.
Welcome. Episode 6. We're halfway through season 2, and it honestly feels like we just started. Is it the chaos of Black Friday? Maybe. We'll never know.
Yeah. To me, it kind of feels like we just started, but it also feels like we've been doing this a while. I have no idea what day it is, what time it is. I don't know about you, but I'm totally feeling the Black Friday hangover right now. I feel like it was just so much adrenaline. That's what we're going to chat about today, how Black Friday went for us, you know, what we observed Black Friday for other brands, who we thought was doing a great job, what we bought as well, and just kind of chatting about what we would do differently next year. But I don't know about you. I totally feel like this week was just like a hangover, and obviously, you know, some personal and baby stuff going on as well. Just need some sleep, need a break after it. We're almost there.
Yeah. To give you context, we are recording this on Thursday at 4:20 PM. The week after Black Friday, we had a tremendous onslaught of orders. I thought it would take like 2 weeks to push out, but we are pretty much caught up on fulfillment, which is a blessing. But it does feel like, I think it's the adrenaline, right? It's like the big jump and then slip. Yeah,
so much adrenaline, especially, you know, we'll talk about it, but definitely some stressful stuff going on happening. Just to give a kind of quick update, had an amazing Black Friday. As we have talked about previously, you know, we don't do any traditional discounts, any traditional sales. We try not to. So what we're really trying to do to take advantage of, you know, consumer behavior and buying behavior is offer products that are hard to get at other times, do exclusive drops. So for us, it really is our minis of our best-selling product, Miracle Balm. You know, customers are asking about it all year. Every ad, people are leaving comments on, and this is pretty much the only time of the year that they can get them. And I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit worried because this is probably our second or third time offering minis. You know, we do something a little different for Memorial Day, and I thought maybe people wouldn't care as much. But I was wrong about that. Without saying any numbers, quadrupled our Black Friday from last year. We hit kind of our goal by 10:30 a.m. We hit what we did last year by probably 9 o'clock a.m. I think you tweeted.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, nuts.
Sold out.
I think the interesting thing about these minis is like, yeah, that it's a mini of our best-selling SKU. There's a ton of excitement. The caveat is that like a bunch of our customers are pretty new. We've like tripled as a brand in the last year. So we're seeing so many new customers that haven't seen last Black Friday. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think there's that, but also it's the scarcity. It comes, it goes. I think we purchased this months ago with the expectation that it should last us throughout the weekend and then have a bunch left over by like Friday, 4 p.m. we were completely sold out.
It's like an amazing, you know, amazing victory, but it's also like a little bit bittersweet because it's like, man, like we don't know what, you know, we're truly capable of, but you know, I still think it's an amazing thing, and you're better off this way than the other way. You know, I can't tell you how many times I was like, man, I wish we just did a straight discount. Like there's no inventory issues off that. But yeah, no, obviously prefers, because you know, I think the thing with discounts, and one thing I'll say is I saw, you know, a lot of people on Twitter or whatever being like, oh, like you shouldn't discount. Like we don't discount. Like there's nothing wrong with discounting. Like people expect it. I don't think it's bad for brand. I don't think it's bad for the consumer. If anything, it's good for the consumer because they expect it. I think the only thing with it, I wonder how much of it is actually generating new revenue, additional revenue versus pulling it forward. And I think if you do some type of limited drop that people can't get outside of it, you're not going to have as big of a drawdown after it, as big of a hangover after it, because you're pulling some revenue forward. Absolutely. People are not going to order Black Friday weekend and then order 3 days after it, most likely. But I do think you are generating a lot of incremental new orders more so than you would with a discount.
Yeah. I mean, we brought in a ton of new customers over the weekend, but I think it's also, you thinking through from my like CX and retention mindset, I'm like so disappointed for the customers that were waiting all year, but then, you know, woke up to see it's sold out. It's like it's bittersweet also because, like, you know, Joanne had like a shitload of beautiful emails that, you know, last chance, it's almost sold out. None of that happened.
I told her we'll she's just them. A year and a half ahead. She's just ahead for next year. So it's been a hard year for e-commerce brands. And, you know, one thing that we've all been focusing on a lot more, certainly us at Jones Road have been focused on a lot, is retention, specifically owned audiences. What are you doing to provide the best possible customer experience and getting as much value and revenue as you can out of your existing customer cohorts? And an amazing way to do that is with an owned app using TapCart. I truly believe, you know, a few years ago when everyone was starting, you know, SMS programs for this, I really didn't think that brands needed to, you know, have an SMS program. And, you know, I kind of feel the same about apps. At first, I wasn't really sure. I thought a website was fine. But honestly, since learning about TapCart and seeing how great it is, I've actually become a believer, and I really believe that for most brands, having an app as a part of their retention tech stack for owned audiences is such a great idea. So what I want to do is just show you guys a little bit of the inside of TapCart, kind of just show you what it looks like, preview the app for you, and just kind of walk you through how easy it is to use it. It's super cool. Before I got started with TapCart, I thought that I really didn't know much about an app, but I figured it would take a ton of time, be super expensive to develop, thought you needed your own developers, but it's actually super simple. TapCart set up this app for us in about a week. They do all of the design. They pretty much make it just so easy. So all you have to do, if you can plug and play and drag and drop just like a landing page builder, you can get an app going for your store pretty instantly, you know, in a matter of weeks at the very most, sometimes within a week. So I just want to kind of show you guys the app. I mean, look at it. It looks just like our website. It's pretty awesome. You can have, you know, your nav, you have your logo in here, you have a cart. You can, again, it's, look how easy it is just to edit the content. You can just, you know, change your images, change where it goes to, change the section. They've just got a bunch of these sections that you can kind of just put in there, especially if you want to do something. You know, an app is a great time, you know, to offer a great place to offer promos, exclusive things to your existing customers. You can put in here, you know, look how easy this is just to drag and drop, right? Like I said, if I can do it, anyone can. Just drag and drop, edit the content, remove it. You can change your, you know, your font. But yeah, it's a great time. It's a great place to offer promos. So you can definitely kind of make use of some of this existing content. Just kind of drag and drop some of these blocks in when you want. You can have videos in here, so it's great for content, exclusive content for your customers. Again, it looks just like our website. They were able to match it pretty perfectly. But, you know, one of the benefits is because it's an app, it loads super quickly. So yeah, again, you can see kind of how easy it is. You can edit, you know, theme settings in here. You can edit the navigation. It's super cool. They've got some really cool features to grow your app and your user base, where you can scan a QR code. So you can, you know, print or create a QR code that you can use online or anywhere. Direct people to your app if you want to, you know, direct people to your app to get a discount from your Facebook group, whatever it is. So this is a super cool one that I've seen a lot of brands use really well. You know, you can get a ton of data. You know, another thing I love is push notifications. So again, we're all trying to reach customers where, you know, ads are expensive, CPMs are up, it's getting harder to track. So we're all trying to reach places, and email is great, SMS is great, but you know, there's a cost to it. The cool thing about a push notification is there's no additional cost to send a push notification. So just like you're going to set up, you know, I'll show you exactly how to do it. Just like you're going to set up a text, you can set up a push notification just as easily. But with a text, there's a cost every time you send it out. And if your brand's growing, that can definitely add up. With a push notification, there's no incremental cost. So you can set up, you know, based on a product, you can do it based on a collection. So again, I think that this is super cool. You can do it based on a collection. You just write your copy in here. It's super easy. Change some settings. You can schedule it. It's awesome. It's super cool. It's a great way, just again, to be able to kind of another way to reach your customers without an additional cost. The great thing is, right, it takes up the screen. You can even make these full screen, and there's no additional cost. You know, if I haven't said that already, I love it. I think it's super cool. Like I said, I think nearly everybody should consider having an app. And the best part is, if you go to tapcart.com/downtochat, you can actually get up to 2 months free. Go to tapcart.com/downtochat. You can see this amazing landing page that I have. Just fill out your info, book a demo with the TapCart team. And I highly recommend you do if you're trying to squeeze out more incremental revenue from your existing customers in 2023.
The wallet guy tweeted, like, you know, if you're...
Wallet
if you're
and fit- ring guy.
Don't get canceled.
My mortal enemy.
He tweeted, he's like, if you're under $50 million, you don't have to worry about brand. I think it's always like, the numbers always have me for a, it's always like, it's always one of those, like, if you're under X, you don't have to worry. But I think the point is, like, if you're either going to do zero in sales and have a great brand, or keep your business, and I think this is kind of echoing what you said last week or 2 weeks ago, it's like, if it's the difference of keeping your business open and running and paying your employees, run the sale. But I think it's just thinking about front loading revenue and decreasing repeat purchase and all that fun stuff. Like, think more holistically than just like this week, day, month has to crush.
Yeah. And then absolutely. Yeah. We're personally trying to build something longer term. So, you know, we're probably willing to, and fortunately we didn't have to take, you know, maybe not fully maximize what we can do during Black Friday. So that way we can, you know, acquire customers at fuller price throughout the year. But you know, where am I going with this? Essentially, I think that even if you had a strong Black Friday or if you didn't, a lot of it is really, yes, it's the offer you're doing, it's the creatives that you have, it's all that stuff, but it's really how well of a job did you do at acquiring new customers throughout the year, you know? And really, you know, a lot of people talk about it like, you know, Q4 is great for retention. I mean, it's this year to me proved it's also great for acquisition. It can be great. We acquired, you know, probably 40% more customers than we did the previous month, which was a really strong acquisition month. So again, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see how those customers retain over time.
It's less tricky if there's no discount.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and the other thing is, so we expected cannibalization of our full size, and we hadn't seen that. But also, part of the reason why I think acquisition was so strong for us this year is, you know, we run most of our media spend on Miracle Balm ads, and we're selling makeup online, which is something that consumers are not usually used to doing or not everyone loves doing. So I'm sure that there are a ton of people who are interested, have enough desire to purchase. They just, they're not able to overcome some of that, those certainty objections and about, you know, mainly, am I going to like it and what's my shade? And this is such a great opportunity because normally for, you know, $38, you get one shade and if you don't like it, you're screwed. I mean, maybe we can do a better job on our paid landing pages, highlighting our exchange programs and stuff like that. That's something we should definitely test. But I also think that, you know, there's less of a risk with trying four shades for just a little bit more. And so people that maybe you don't love shade A, but you love shade B. And so I'm really curious to see how we retain these customers over time.
Yeah, it'll be super interesting. I mean, the reality is that I think focusing on post-purchase, but also, like you're saying, understanding pre-purchase, like what the objections are, and then leveraging those in the ads of like, this is a great way to test all, because like that's obviously one of our biggest objections. So I think that's super interesting. But question, what did you buy?
What did I buy Black Friday? Well, all right, let me answer that. We can chat about that. But I also just want to talk about like what we did well and then what I think we want to improve next time. And this will be good to kind of listen to as we start prepping for Black Friday next year. I bought a bunch. Actually, my house right now literally looks like an Amazon warehouse because it's not that I bought that much, but it's my wife bought a lot, pile got a lot. Literally last night was recycling, and I think I put out like, felt like 20 boxes. And then today we got like 20 more.
Question is, are you buying things that are on sale, or are you in a buying moment?
Eli, I'm not buying anything. It's all pile. She even said today, she was like, I'm buying it. There's no budget. Like, I haven't been. I'm like, oh my God. I don't even want to know it yet. It's mostly for Lily. It's mostly for our daughter. The one, I got a few things. Yeah, I wanted to get Vuori. I actually asked somebody from Vuori if they were going to do a sale, and he told me no ahead of time. I was still planning on buying. And I chose not to out of protest, out of spite. Because I would have bought. Yeah. I love Vuori. They're one of my favorite brands. I think they make the absolute best clothes in the world. Last year, they did a gift with purchase with a beanie, which is like, all right, fine. It's like, it's okay. This year, they did a hat that, this is not, I'm not trying to, you know, talk shit about them or anything, but it looked like Barry Hott's hat, the Make Ugly ads. Looked like a $3 hat. I love you, Barry. And so
wait,
I was
Barry
like,
charges $9.99.
Yeah, isn't his like $3,500 or something?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I didn't buy it out of protest, but do you ever, you probably don't do this, but do you ever like wait for something to go on sale and you see it's not on sale and then just like, all right, I'm going to buy now anyways.
You already knew the answer when you phrased the question. You're like, you definitely don't do this.
I know. It's like, I'm asking Eli. Yeah. So I didn't buy that. I bought Hexclad. I've been meaning to buy Hexclad for a while. They fucking got me. Cause I, you know, before I bought, my wife pile was like, you know, you can get like one, but like, we don't have that much room. So I was planning to get one pan. You know, I think they're running like, you know, 40% off bundles. I was like, fuck, like I really want, you know, a hex glide. I've heard great things. Actually, I have the knives as well.
So went
and, shout out to Jason. So I got the bundle. I got three. I think I got an 8-inch, a 10-inch, and a 16 or 14. No
what
idea where
cook?
We're going to put them. I made some burgers in them. I made eggs in them. I made some veggies. I tweeted about it the other day. I'm not just saying this. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm blown away. Everyone says they're good and they're far beyond expectations. It's like the nonstick. You don't need as much oil. You don't have to cook as on high, but it just doesn't stick. And I'm really impressed.
How do you season it?
I just follow the instructions and watch a video. I don't think it's quite as detailed as like a cast iron. I didn't realize Hexclad is kind of like a hybrid between like a nonstick, cast iron, and I guess regular. But so just vegetable oil for like 2 to 3 minutes on it.
Oh wow, yeah. I've been on the what's it called with Hexclad for a while, because like my current pans I bought, I don't know, 5 years ago, and I got married, and they're just like, I bought it like Farberware on Amazon for like $100 for a whole set, okay. And it's just like it's kind of gone through the ringer. I got a what's like the Instagram pan, Our Place.
Yeah,
they gifted me a pan a while back when I was.
Is that from the same person that got your wife the cup?
No. This they literally gifted me directly. This wasn't like a gift of a gift, but it was a nice gift, and it's pretty solid. But I think people have very strong opinions about that.
Apparently, I saw Harley say on either Twitter or Instagram that was like one of the top trending products.
Yeah. They are one of those brands that crush it with acquisition all year, and they crush it with influencer. And when I was at Olipop, we were talking to their influencer team, and I was fascinated by how they kind of have their always on program that's really, really crushing. But they discount fairly often, but it's still super effective, because I think they've just built a really, really, really strong brand identity. And it's like you see the pan, you know instantly, right? It's like you know exactly what that is, and it's aspirational. It's I think they also have this price point where like. It feels premium, but not super expensive. I think it's like it's a really interesting price point for a pan, right? It's like $100.
Good for like a millennial, it's good for an apartment.
It's not like a mortgage payment, but it's like also not cheap. So you have that. What did I buy? I'm also like the few brands that I was interested in didn't necessarily have large discounts, but it's like again, like in my head, it was like 'tis the season.
I might as well do it.
I ordered a mini set from Kopari. I've been wanting to try that for a while, and I'm going to gift it as my secret Santa. So I'm not even trying it. And then I ordered a setting powder from Kosas.
Eli, like, I know, I'm in trouble. What the fuck?
I know, I'm in trouble. I ordered a setting powder. It was like...
What the fuck?
What was it? Was it... It was 20% off, maybe. It wasn't super cheap, but
I would have given you one for free.
I know, right? And then I ordered soft services because I've loved what Rebecca's been doing for a while, and I think that their brand is just so stunning. But I've never kind of jumped in.
You didn't get the buffing bar, right?
I ordered the. Body wash and the moisturizer. It was like 5% or 10% off. It wasn't a huge discount, but it was
small deal,
the unboxing, the packaging. Like it was so, the way I described it on Twitter was like thoughtfully premium. Like it feels up leveled, but it doesn't feel wasteful, which is very rare.
No, it's a cool brand. It's cool packaging, and the products are really good. The buffing bar is super good. It's like a bar of soap, but it's like good for like underarm stuff. It's like kind of like an exfoliant bar.
I was disappointed that I tweeted about my purchase, and every single response was like, "Where's the buffing bar?" So now I know what I need next time.
Clearly, their hero product. I bought some Cuts. I brought some Cuts clothing. Got another pair of AO joggers and a different pair, and then like a crew. I wanted to buy. There were a few things like James purse. I've got this one like waffle kind of crew that I probably wear way too often. It's like my favorite thing I own. It's like I only bought it because I had a pretty sizable gift card. It's like $450. But
wow,
it's like the most amazing thing ever. But they're one of these brands. Lululemon kind of does the same thing where like they're always having things come and go. So if you want to buy multiple things, like you got to act quick or it's like totally gone. So I couldn't find it. But Cuts, I'm super excited for that to come. I wanted to buy for a family Secret Santa, maybe for our office one. I saw one of the other, and I heard people talking about it in our office the other day, the Rode Hailey Bieber's line. There's like a product, like a peptide glaze thing that's supposed to be like viral and like super popular. I think it was one of the top trending products as well. But by the time I got to it, it was sold out. So now I know how our customers feel.
Do you think that they actually are selling out at the speed, or are they doing artificial sellouts?
Oh, I think they're selling out. I've heard some things about kind of how they're doing in numbers, and I've also just seen everybody talk about it of how great they're doing.
I mean, it's insane. Every single time they stock back, they're sold out in
hours. I got days. On the wait list. Yeah. What did you see? Are there things you saw that you really liked? Let's start there. The other brands where you're like, oh, that's a cool strategy. Looks like they're crushing it.
I mean, I think ultimately the I'm a sucker for simplicity. Like I'm a sucker for like what you see is what you get. And there's no like, even with soft services, right? It's like, it was a tiered discount, right? So it was like spend up to 50, get 5%, 50 to 100, get 10%. Like at least it was simple and straightforward. Something that I guess the flip side of that, like something I see I don't necessarily love is like it's up to 80% off and then it's like two products on their site are actually that discount.
Oh, I hate that.
Like,
I hate that, yeah.
And that's coming from retail. Like that was always the thing in every single retail store. It's like last call on the window, up to 80%. And it's just jank because it's like I'm going through your whole site and it's like most of the things are 16% off and you have one item on clearance that's 70, 80. I think that's like, that has to go.
I don't love that. I agree.
What are things you love and hate?
I'm trying to think. I was just so busy focusing on our stuff, and we'll talk about some of the issues we had. But you know, it seems like everyone started early this year. You know, I think Hexclad did a good job again. They're a good example, great product, really good brand. Yet they're choosing to discount, and it works super well. I mean, they did it pretty much only on bundles, so I can't imagine what their AOV was. I think that you know, from everything I've seen, they did a really thoughtful job of it and did a really good job. You know, they were emailing, but they weren't spamming and going super aggressive with their emails. I bought and I'm still getting texts about it, about their sales. So, you know, obviously everyone's always got some work that they can do. You know, Cuts was okay. And they kind of did like the up to 50% off. So they did that the same thing. You know, I didn't mind it, but I also, I guess as a marketer, I'm like, I know it's not 50% off.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think, and not that Black Friday has to be like, oh, this is super impressive. They're doing cool shit. I'm trying to think because there was definitely one or two brands that stood out to me, but I can't remember off the top of my head. I definitely saw more of things where I was like, yeah, I don't want to do that.
I mean, I think the other thing that is so stupid easy, but brands aren't doing because like, obviously you make more money if you don't do it is like excluding recent purchasers from sales. I ordered things and got an email the following day or 2 days later, like, hey, check out this bundle or this kit. And I'm like, I didn't even get a shipping confirmation or like, I didn't even get the product yet. And I'm already like, I couldn't have even tried it and liked it. And I'm already being sold. And it was a campaign. It wasn't a flow, but I'm just like, it's kind of giving post-purchase upsell, right? It's like he spent, so he's clearly invested in the brand. Let's try to get more. Yeah. I think it's just as a consumer, I think that, like as a marketer, you're like, oh, they spent. They're probably going to spend more. Let's hit them again with a campaign. Or like, why should we exclude them? But as a customer, it's like, I have no idea if I like it. Like, why?
And that's a great thing because like if you look at the data on most brands, people are going to be most likely to take an upsell to buy again within a certain period of time, within that first month, often within the first, you know, 14 days, sometimes a little bit further out. So like the data does support that. You could be like, well, let me do it because the data supports it. However, just like subjectively from a customer experience, I just fucking hate it.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's, yeah, I mean, that's what
they haven't gotten the product yet. But I also see like we have this Facebook group, the Roadies, that's like growing. And I see people, you know, that bought and they're like, you know what? And then I bought again the next day. So, but again, it was their decision. So I think you can kind of take it either way. It really just comes down to what are you trying to optimize for? And are you trying to maximize revenue right now or trying to give, you know, the best experience you can?
I think about this pretty often. I'm like nonstop complaining on Twitter every single time this happens where I buy something and it takes like 7 days to ship or whatever. And I think it's funny because as a CX person, I'm like, this is awful. I should never buy again. 2 months later, I buy again anyway. Right. So I think, and I was talking about this earlier today. It's like, if the experience is so shit, why do I keep doing it? Like, why do I keep terrorizing myself every single time I wait 9 days for a product to ship?
Name names. Who are you talking about?
I can't name names because I know the team and I don't want to drag them. But they're in the fashion like streetwear world. It's not Mad Happy. But it's just a brand that it's like they don't tell you anything about these delays pre-purchase. And the post-purchase, like it can take 5 to 7 business days. And it's like if I order something and then it takes, I mean, I ordered the 22nd. We're almost at the end of the day of the first. It didn't even ship yet. So I'm going to get it. It'll be a good 2-3 weeks after. By the time I get it, I'm like, I don't even want this $70 turtleneck. And it's just like, but Cody, like 2 months later, I'll be buying it again. So I think the thought for me is like at a certain point, you're like, okay, if your brand is strong enough, then like you can completely just
or if your product is strong enough, like for example, right. like Pyle, my wife is like, her like breast pump broke. So she needed like a replacement and like, you know, something you need right away. So they told her to buy it on Amazon and they would reimburse her for it, you know? And like, this is one that's like, you know, like a wireless one that like not everybody makes. So she did it. And then like, oh, we actually are only allowed to reimburse you $25. And the thing was like 60, you know, for the replacement. And it's like, that's like a fucking terrible customer experience, right? It's like, it's right. pretty awful. And like, she had like got on with multiple people. But the reality is like, she needs this product. Like she, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, if you have a product that's good and differentiated, like you kind of don't have a choice.
So I think it's
not that, product, not that that's the position you want to be in.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think it's brand. And that kind of, I guess that's a testament to like people on the roadies, right? Who again, like our Facebook group, 7,000 people, they're all super fans. If you're joining a Facebook group of a brand, you're a super fan. So it's like, if you're at a certain point in your journey with a brand, like your customer journey, you're like, I'm a super fan. I think your wallet's open. To a certain extent, I think you'll spend more. You'll buy all the products.
People. I think you can lose people.
You can probably lose people, but it's probably it takes a little bit more to lose people. Like yeah. the brand that I purchased this stupid turtleneck from, it's like they know that where they're at. Like if they lose me, they'll have three other people to take my place. And the reality is, they care less about LTV and AOV because they never spent a dollar to get a customer because everything's virality. Everything's selling out. They're not running ads. So I think there's also that. It's like, do you want to become a business that's known for great experience, or do you just want to sell out your shit and move to the Bahamas and buy a house next to SBF, right? So it's like, I don't know. Pick your poison.
yeah. No right way. But yeah, again, there's totally no one right way to do it. But I think definitely just like, to me, making sure your offer is clear, but also making sure you're not tricking customers. I think a lot of what I saw this year kind of borderline, you know, not totally ethical or not honest. A lot of the like sale extended, it seems like everybody's doing that. What's your thoughts on it?
I mean, it's cringe, right? It's like it's cringe, but then again, like so is so much of this. Like, hey, my intern stole my discount code and ran to the computer and typed it in. I mean, so much of this is cringe, but again, like, caveat, we're marketers. I think if my mom saw sale extended, she'd be like, oh my god, this is so exciting, I could still get it, it's on discount, right? So I think it's cringe, it's overdone. Every single year we go, we have like four new hacks that get unlocked.
That's what
it's
I
like
mean
new
yeah.
hack unlocked, and then the next year it's kind of lame and the 60 brands follow along and still do it, and then
yeah
the
you have
like, it's
like 10 brands do it, and then 20, and then 60, and then it's like,
and
fuck
then
this.
Yeah. So
the other. So what were some things you saw? So sale extended, I saw that a lot this year. I saw that a ton. Do you think that these are brands that planned to end their sale and then it was like either, oh, no, we're doing so well, let's keep it going? Or do you think they were like, we didn't sell as much as we needed to, let's keep it going? You think it was planned from the beginning?
I think they all planned to extend their sale because
that's like, my favorite part. Yeah. Then it's like some executive is in like a boardroom going like, guys, I have the best idea. What if we tell people it's over? But then it's not over.
It's so stupid. But sale extended, I mean, like, yeah, do I think some people are like, oh, we need more money? Maybe. But I think most people intend on extending the sale. And the only reason why they wouldn't is if they sold out, right? It's like if you know that you can make an extra, I don't know, 3x your revenue by doing this janky hack. At the end of the day, like, to me, it's always about, like, whose KPIs is this? Like, which growth guy is getting a bonus or growth gal is getting a bonus based on this extra whatever push of sales?
Yeah.
Show me your incentives and I'll show you whatever
the outcomes.
Right? Exactly. Down to Chat is brought to you by Peel. I know Black Friday this year has been nuts, and I wanted to take 2 minutes to walk you through some of the things that we look at in Peel to understand how we did retention wise as well as obviously acquisition wise. This is being shared on video if you're on Spotify or YouTube. If not, you can take a look there, but I'll also try to make it as audio friendly as I can. So first things first, we are always looking at distribution by order number to understand like what percentage of these customers that came in over Black Friday are first time versus second time versus third time or fourth, etc. So in our case, you can see 55% of the customers were new customers, which is obviously amazing, but also it's interesting to see that there are folks that have ordered 6, 7, 8, 9 times that are still coming back on Black Friday. The next thing we look at is returning customers by cohort to get a better understanding of, are there spikes that we're looking at in terms of, you know, the second month, third month, fourth month. What you can see here is January, February, March customers had a spike in April, May, which is when we launched our foundation, but also again around Black Friday, which is obviously amazing to see that we're kind of re-engaging these folks. Another fun dashboard we look at is year over year. So having a better understanding, not just focused on the gross sales and orders, but also on AOV, products sold, et cetera, and you know, discounting if applicable. The last interesting thing I love, we've spoken about audiences in the past, but this is especially interesting because we can see first-time customers that came in Black Friday to get a better understanding of obviously their AOV, their LTV and all that fun stuff, but we can also export this audience into Klaviyo to send them unique messaging, or Attentive to send them a text, or hell, even turn them into a direct mailer audience of customers, which is great. The last thing, which I don't have on this loom, is looking at gifting. So we can kind of take a group of customers and segment the folks that have different shipping and billing, and then assume that they are sending gifts and maybe message them differently, which is fun, and a different way to slice and dice, which is the name of the game. One last thing for listeners of Down to Chat, if you want to give Peel a shot, you can go to peelinsights.com/more/downtochat for 20% off the first 3 months. So again, 20% off for the first 3 months, go to peelinsights.com/more/downtochat. So what other janky hacks?
Yeah. So, all right, so we got sale extended. What else did you see? So yeah, there was definitely a lot of more of that. Like, oh, like my assistant, my intern or like my assistant, like my boss is going to kill me if you don't order right now.
My dog ate my homework, like all the kind of
that's generic. The vibe it pretty much gives. Yeah, there was some of that. What else did you say? The sale extended was what I noticed the most often. I don't know if this was real or not. A lot of people did like a site went down.
So I know the head of CX at Away, and she was like, yeah, this was never a hack. Like this was a CX thing. But again, it's like it started as like a real thing that really happened. I bet there are some people like, if your site went down for 4 minutes and you send an email to every single abandoned cart, like that's a hack, right? Yeah. Like that's, you can say you're doing it because of the CX, but like, did it drive revenue? Yes. Did you send it to everyone that abandoned the cart the entire, like, did you send it to more people that it impacted? If you did, then it's a hack.
Yeah.
What else? I mean, I think in general, like the whole idea of like, I'm trying to think what else. There's a bunch of things in my inbox that I was like, what the hell is this? Final chance, like sending the same email with 6 different subject lines. I saw that happen this year. I think that's, because like ultimately your goal is like, oh, it wasn't open, so we may as well resend it with a different subject line. But I could have been in a call and then I get out of the call 2 hours later, like out with my kids. Now I see 3 emails and they're all the same email, different
subject lines. Oh, that happened?
It happened. Yeah. This is weird. I unsubscribed from literally over 100 brands this weekend. And it's like, oh, you're a marketer. You get it. But I'm like, I get it if you're in a certain wave of communication. You're like, oh, I communicate with my customers fairly often. Now I'm communicating a little bit more. If you go from 0 to 100, like if I get 1 text a month and all of a sudden I'm getting 3 texts in a weekend, I'm out. I'm 1,000% out. And it's some brands that one of them that I used to work for, a lot of brands that I love, and I'm like, this is too much. Like this is, I got 37 messages. Like it's too much.
Yeah. I think one thing I want to do a better job of, and I guess we can segue into this, is thinking about brand, you know, like customers who are on our list who haven't really communicated with us and engaged with us in a while. It seems like Black Friday is the time everybody's just like, let me send to them. I don't care that I haven't been sending to them. They're going to either buy or they're just going to drop off. And I think that I'd like to do a more thoughtful job of warming them up and attempting. And if they are, yes, some of those people are going to subscribe when we start sending to them, but trying to engage with them with a little bit more of like top of funnel content rather than just direct sales. And then having those people flow into kind of middle of funnel segments that are going to get offers for, you know, Black Friday weekend instead.
This is a very CX-minded growth guy moment right now.
Well, no, it's also growth. It's acquisition. I just think it's prospecting.
You're doing both.
You need to do a little bit of that. So it's top of funnel. It's prospecting. I can't just assume because email is retention that like these people know me and they already want to buy it. Like these people are totally no warmer than somebody seeing a Facebook ad. So I've just got to re-engage with them, not do it about something salesy, but do it about content and educate them and get them into the funnel and interested and get them window shopping first. And I think most people are just like, buy my offer.
Well, it's another example of the people that are incentivized to kind of push as much as they can from retention are usually I mean, for the most part, a lot of the brands that you're seeing send 365 emails in 3 days are actually agencies, right? And they're like, I have to create a presentation at the end of Black Friday and show how many people, whatever, how many people bought from email. And when they see, like when the client sees 6% unsubscribe versus a regular week 1% or 0.01%, I'll just say like, it's Black Friday. Like everyone sends to the full list, but yeah. It's not thoughtful from a brand perspective, from a growth perspective, from a retention perspective. Mm. It's just chaos. Like it's just unleashing chaos, hoping that like we don't care.
I'd be really interested to see, and with Klaviyo's new tool, I think we might be able to see this if we got it set up correctly. We have to ask Joanne, but what percentage of those people on the unengaged actually purchased? I wonder if it's a high amount. That. It's probably not, but you never know. So I'm curious to see.
Well,
if anyone has data on that, yeah, definitely let
us
know.
I guess we saw a little bit on the direct mail, which we can share today or at a later point. But like we did see that people that hadn't purchased in a year. Ended up purchasing for Black Friday, right? Like whether or not they got the card. So I think it's possible to re-engage people that are very, very lapsed or haven't opened emails in forever. But again, like the offer A has to make a ton of sense. B has to be thoughtful, right? It's like if you go, like for me, it wasn't as much a problem that they sent a lot of messaging as much as it was like, holy shit, this was aggressive. Like I haven't heard from you at all in 6 months. Or like I've heard like if I'm unengaged and I'm on a list of like unengaged audience, that means I haven't gotten a single email in 6 months and now I get 9, I'm just like, I haven't seen you in my inbox forever. Like
totally agree.
What happened there? So
what would you do? Would you do like a email before then, be like, hey, you haven't seen from us, like are you know, check here to opt out of Black Friday or like check here to opt out of emails or would you not say it, but just like try to hit them with some content, see if they're clicking on anything. If they don't open or click, then just don't send to them.
I think option A is kind of like where we've gone. It's like one of those, like over the last couple of years, like Valentine's Day sucks or like Mother's Day. Like here's a way to opt out, which like slowly kind of like disappeared now.
Oh really? I think everyone's doing that now.
That was last year. I think this year it's like, we're on the downturn of that. It's like it starts and then gets super excited. But I think we're slowly starting to see. I mean, I would probably go option B, right? It's like, how can we engage in a thoughtful way of like kind of what you said, right? Like re-engage on brand principles. Like, hey, you know, it's been a while. Here's what we're about, and it doesn't have to be 9 emails; it can be 1. But then also being thoughtful around like, even if you're going full list 9 times over Black Friday weekend, take the unengaged list and only go 3 times. And if you lose a couple of purchases, like that's fine too. But like they're not ready for the delta between where you were and where you are versus a regular customer got to a week.
That's what feels so odd and so strange. Also, I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of people talk about like brands are just not unsubscribing people that have tried to unsubscribe. What's your thoughts on that? Because sometimes I'll get that, but I don't know if it's because like I use Superhuman and I don't know if sometimes the way I unsubscribe from there like doesn't actually make it to their ESP. What's your thought?
I am not technical enough to understand. I mean, like I understand from the Klaviyo perspective, if somebody clicks unsubscribe, they're unsubscribed. Like you'd have to manually resubscribe them, which doesn't sound, I highly doubt the brands are doing it. I think that that's a little, maybe I'm wrong. And again, like caveat, like if you think I'm wrong, you don't have to kill me. I've made mistakes before, but I think people are over dramatizing it. I think that some of the ESPs actually take 7 days. Like,
you think that's what it is?
Well, some brands will tell you like you've been unsubscribed. It might take whatever. I think that it's highly unlikely that every brand doesn't give a shit about laws at all. I think that people are just maybe ESPs are slower to unsubscribe. I'm like an optimist and I don't think people are completely ridiculous. But then again, it's like if somebody unsubscribed, they're not going to purchase again. So like, what do you gain from hammering them another 9 times?
So I don't know if that's true. You don't think somebody could want to buy your products but not want to receive emails from you?
In theory, but if that's the case, then if they don't want to receive the emails, they're not buying the products because you sent them an extra 3 emails. They're buying the product because they've been thinking about.
Good point.
I mean, there's a caveat. No, it's possible. Like it's possible that somebody's like, this is really annoying, but like if you send me a good discount, I'd buy it anyway, even though it's annoying, right? That's the brand I keep buying clothing from. I hate them. They're super annoying, but I keep buying it.
I'm trying to think who's like that I get stuff from. I don't know. I don't know if there's anyone like that.
You know what else? You know what other hack that we've been seeing this year?
Let's hear it.
It's kind of like, it's one of those things that's like kind of cute now, but you have to be doing it for the right reason. It's going to get really old next year. Brand saying like, hey, it's a day before Black Friday. Pause. Don't buy anything.
Don't buy.
We have really good stuff tomorrow. It's like,
I agree.
Started last year. This year,
marketers are the worst, man. Marketers, we're the worst. It's just like, we think we're so clever, and then everyone just, it just shows you, like, a time like this just shows you how unoriginal everybody is.
Yeah. It's,
and it's hard.
It's like,
I even struggle with that. Like, during,
but I did it first.
Yeah. I even struggle with that during the holidays and then, like, January, right? Like, how, like, everyone's like, oh, holidays, like, you know, we got to do this brand marketing thing and this stuff for the holidays. We got to do a gift guide. And, like, you see, like, every brand doing a holiday gift guide. Like, every brand is just following the same calendar. And I'm not judging at all. I'm saying, like, it's something that I always struggle with is, like, how do you stand out? And, again, people do it because it worked. Our gift guide email fucking crushed it. Like, so it works. It's just so hard. But, you know, in January, everybody's talking about the same things. Everyone's going to be talking about Valentine's
New
Day.
New year,
like,
new me.
Yeah, you kind of have to, but it's, I just really respect the brands that kind of do something different. Like, do you remember 1 year Away? I think they raised their prices on Black Friday.
Really? I don't
think so. That. Just as like a sign of like, it was more of that like DTC, like we're DTC, we've got the lowest prices, we're actually going to raise them. And I was like, all right, respect it. Like, that's kind of cool. It's different.
I think that there's an element to like, yeah, everyone does this because it works. But I think even if you decide like, hey, I'm going to do this, I think there's a way of doing it on brand that's something that feels mm-hmm. the way you would do it versus yeah. like literally copy and pasting somebody else's email. Like, I think so many of these like kind of hacks of like, my intern stole my laptop, or like, don't buy because we love you and we want you to save all the money for tomorrow. Like, it's like, is that why you're doing that? Or is it because this is a hack? And I think if done well, and if it's intentional, and it's like, hey, this is a message from the CEO, don't buy my shit. Yeah, that might sound crazy. It's like you copy and pasted the same exact email.
From the other brand, yeah.
Like, take a tiny bit of extra effort. Like a tiny.
I hear you. I don't know. Yeah. The reason I don't love the sale extended, if we go back to that really quickly, it's like,
yeah.
To me, it's like lying. Like, there's nothing wrong with a discount. There's nothing wrong with an aggressive offer. Like, performance marketing is great. You've got to hit your numbers. There's nothing wrong with it. As long as it works for your brand, do it. Go hard at it. Have, you know, the biggest revenue day of your company history. But tell your customers straight up. I don't love the up to 80% off, but that's not really a lie, right? Telling people sale extended is a lie. You're telling people your sale, you have terms and conditions, and this is going to be the day that it's going to end. And then you're like, JK, that's not the day that it's going to end. Like, it's just not something that I would want to tell somebody in person, right? If we go back to that analogy, the other thing I was thinking about is like, I think you should treat your customer, brand should treat the customer as if it's like your mother or your grandmother is a customer. Like, how would you want somebody to communicate with them, you know? And it's like, you want to be honest. You want to be upfront and forward. Put a great offer out there, but be honest about it. Especially if you have, you know, an older customer, like, don't try to trick them. I think that's what I kind of can't get on board with that I've seen a lot this year.
I mean, it's fake scarcity, right? It's like, it's a tale as old as time. I think it's also like any one of those like drop shipping janky websites mm-hmm. that have like a ticking time bomb of like X amount of units remaining. And it's like, no, that's not at all true. I think it's a very fuzzy line, right? Where you go from like, this really works on a PDP mm-hmm. to like, this is kind of annoying. Yeah. And then the further along the line you get, you're like, this is disingenuous and maybe sketchy. So I think it's like, I think the lines got blurred really quickly, but I think it's, for me, it's like, yeah, maybe most customers aren't as in tune as marketers are. And like, they don't realize that this is kind of sketch. I just think it's kind of cringe.
So like, I think they do though, because like, for example, I was reading comments on our ads to try to figure out when we should shut off our set of mini miracle bombs, because we only mm-hmm. had multiple shades left. And like, people were like, oh, this is a scam. Like, they sold out in a day. They said they're going to do it. This is a scam. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just our customer. Maybe it's just a very small sample size, but I saw several comments like that. Like, you could be right that marketers are just more aware of it. Or I think what a lot of marketers think that people are okay with, people are not okay with. And we just don't really ever get that feedback.
It's probably a bit of both. I think it's probably a bit of both. I mean, like, overall, I think the like kind of behavior of just like this herd mentality of just running the same hack. And then like, it's like it works, but it's so cringe. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about all of it. Yeah. I'm like, I mean, if you do it and it drives revenue and you crush it as a brand and you exit and you buy a house in God knows where, I mean, like, good for you. I'm just like
I don't know. I hear you. All right. One other thing I wanted to say before we get to our last topic, which is kind of chatting back about ours and what went well, what didn't, is, you know, I saw a lot of people pretty upset about Klaviyo going down. You know, usually when Facebook has issues, people on Twitter are really upset about it. What I find kind of funny is that I thought things went pretty well this year. I feel like with the volume that Shopify was processing and everything else, first of all, Facebook CPMs were really cheap. I didn't see that many people bragging about how cheap their CPMs were. Everyone's complaining about how expensive CPMs can get. The approvals time was the quickest I've ever seen it in Black Friday. We were getting ads approved within the day, within hours, which is pretty amazing for Black Friday. Maybe there's less people advertising, whatever it is. Shopify, to my knowledge, didn't go down at all. And with that server load that they had from what they processed, I think that's pretty amazing. So I just want to kind of shout out those companies. Not that anyone's ever going to hear this, but like, I think it's actually pretty incredible. And I think sometimes we all take it for granted, you know, when something doesn't go wrong, you know, we can get pretty vocal about it. But I think it's actually pretty amazing how good some of the tools and software we use are. And I think we should definitely be appreciative for that.
Amen. Especially given that Shopify is down like once a week. It was very impressive that they didn't go down
at
all.
They somehow managed for this one, yeah.
I think that the other caveat to make is that everyone's like, Klaviyo's down. You guys, of any day of the year. I'm like, Karen, relax. Your stuff is still going out. Like, if anyone kind of read the fine print, like, not a single campaign was impacted. People were struggling to create new segments.
Yeah, they couldn't log in. Yeah.
Or like your stuff, if you scheduled your stuff, it went out. It was down. I mean, like, yeah, it sucks.
I think it's definitely an hour.
Should they be online on Black Friday? Absolutely. I think the general kind of like, Klaviyo is so expensive. And it's like, this is our usual kind of rant here. But I'm just like, blah, blah, blah. It's old. Yeah. It's stale.
A lot of complaining.
Like, right, nobody complains to Zuck. Nobody complains to Zuck about how much it costs to acquire a customer. Him spent $400 to acquire a customer last year. You don't see them complaining to Facebook.
No, but so people see, I think people do complain. Anything that's wrong with Facebook, people do complain. I don't think these platforms get enough credit, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Is when stuff goes well, it's like, you know, you could hear a footstep.
I think that's the basic
I'm too tired to say.
Yeah, I think it's like the basic human behavior. Right?
Yeah,
it's
we never shut up
when things go down. Things. Yeah. I think it was just I think that, you know, that being said, putting my CX hat on, was I going through Klaviyo's tweets and replies? Yes. Was I looking that they were copy and pasting the same PR canned response? Mm. And even Shopify doesn't do that. I was like, Shopify writes personal responses. That's not just copy and paste. You can tell a person wrote it. They were copying and pasting this PR-esque, and I get it. It's like, it's a big company. They have to, their legal team, it has to make sense. But it was like, we are so sorry. We have a team working around the clock. And I was just like,
That's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy. All right. So last thing I kind of want to end with is talking about what we think we did well, what went well, and what we think we didn't care for so much or feel like we can improve for next year, about our Black Friday. You want to kick it off? What do you think went well about this year's?
I can kick it off. I think we did really well at priming people a whole year. Like, people were really, okay, really excited, ready to purchase. I mean, like, we, you know, say we had 50-50 new and mm-hmm. repeat. I think, like, we sold out in record timing. Like, as a team, we anticipated to do, you know, like, on a scale. Like, if we did double the revenue last year, we expected Black Friday to be double of last year, and it was a lot, mm-hmm. lot more. So we did better than expected.
Definitely better than expected.
I thought in terms of like on the retention side, like Joanne absolutely crushed.
Definitely.
Crushed. Like both, I mean, email drove an insane amount of revenue. SMS crushed it, but also like thoughtfully giving people an idea of a delayed shipping and fulfillment. Like, we've kind of set expectations across the experience, like, which you cannot understand what a lifesaver it is for my team. Like, we had, I don't know, 10x the amount of sales that we have on a regular day, and ticket volume was only up 77%, right? Like, we don't have people saying, where's my shit? Comparatively, that's, we should be good. a lot higher. So we set expectations like, it'll take longer for your product to ship. Everything, PDP, we explained a lot more about the product than we do or as much as we needed to anyway. That's what I think we did really well. What we could have done differently, and this is something we were talking about before the call, I think we had like, we had not just the minis, we had a mini set, and we just had like, we had a bunch of things going on. And I think it may have been a little bit confusing to customers, as like, there was a lot, like, maybe simplicity is key for next year, and pushing the other launches, like maybe before or after?
Yeah, thoughts? we launched five things, you know, between holiday and Black Friday, and four of them far exceeded expectations, you know, sold out on stuff we thought we'd have through the end of the year. Or, you know, so some stuff we thought we'd have through the end of the year, we sold out of that pretty quickly, very quickly. And then some of, you know, none of that made it past Black Friday. And then some stuff that we thought we would have through Black Friday, like we talked about, sold out in a day. So again, that's, you can always get better at forecasting, but with how much we've grown and everything, I think it's more of just, you know, kudos to our entire marketing team for being able to create that demand. I think everything went well. I think, you know, ads was pretty strong. I mean, CAC was super low that day. Email was great. I think just driving buzz and awareness throughout the year was awesome. You know, I think the roadies, the group, it's growing. I think it's up to like 7K now. So not huge, but it seems like there was a lot of passion coming from that group. So that was awesome. You know, again, yeah, the email SMS was phenomenal. I thought everything we did social. So I think marketing wise, we did great. Website, I think was pretty good. Well merchandised. We saw a good, you know, average order value increase. It was funny because somebody shouted out on Twitter, like they thought it was genius that we had like an in-cart upsell to get people over the threshold. And Eli was like, yeah, that's all Cody. I was like, total accident. Not at all thought of. Like, I definitely try to get a little thoughtful with the upsells, but it's more of what I think people will take and will have the best take rates. I'm not doing the math in terms of like, oh, like if we offer this and this one, that'll put them $2 over it. Like I'm not going kind of that detailed, but I guess it just happened to work out. What I think we can improve, I think you can never QA enough. I was literally anxious the night before. I was looking at stuff. I realized there was definitely some links and stuff not working, but there was definitely stuff. So I think that can be done ahead of time. And there was just some site things, kind of operational site pricing things that went wrong that I think it's just, you know, somebody's got to own, and we've just got to have multiple sets of eyes on pretty much everything. Even there were some communications where we had the times off. We sent an email and, you know, and said the time that we were launching something was not correct. So just some small things like that. It just kind of really just comes down to, you know, doing things further ahead of time and buttoning them up, because there are, I don't know about you, but there are, it overwhelms me how many moving parts there are. Like I had meetings with, you know, people on the team to like multiple times to go over the website and everything that had to change and get flipped on and not. Like there are so many moving parts, and kudos to our entire team, but there's always something that's going to go wrong, you know?
Yeah. I mean, all that being said, the fact that we sold out on inventory that we thought was going to last us for weeks, in a couple of hours is a testament to the, I mean, it's testament to the entire brand, but also to the marketing team on creating this value around it. I mean, if, for context, it's the same exact thing we sell all year, just a different size. Like, how crazy is that, right? It's just mind blowing. Yeah, it's mind blowing, and that's what marketing is, right? Like, we drive so much demand around this product that, I mean, people that are lifelong customers, people that never heard about us, everyone jumped in, which is incredible. I mean, I've never seen anything like it, so.
Yeah, we had one offer that didn't hit, you know, so maybe it was too many offers. Maybe it's, you know, the spacing and kind of timing it. So there are definitely a few things like that I think, you know, we can definitely do a better job of getting nitty gritty on the ad side. We scaled pretty hard, mainly due to cost caps, you know, that allowed us to kind of spend extra and have the confidence that we wouldn't have to spend the budget if it wasn't working. But what happened was the following days, the Facebook, because we converted so well on Black Friday, Facebook was expecting that same conversion rate. It kind of takes a lag. So usually with a cost cap, you only spend if you're getting conversions. We spent on pretty terrible numbers, which I was not expecting. I pulled things down, but I didn't think we would spend as aggressively as we did. So I think that's something to just totally keep an eye out. And then, you know, left some ads running past when we should have, just because there were so many things to do. So there's just small things like that that are kind of a little bit sloppy. That I think we can, it's to me, it's more that, you know, than it was necessarily giant lessons to take from it.
Right.
So what were your thoughts? I know we're trying to do a little, you know, semi-regular segment, test of the week. And, you know, one thing that we talked about a while ago that we wanted to test was direct mail. So just, do you want to give people an update kind of how it went, results we saw, and what we're planning from here?
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was, you know, it's like anything else, that it kind of really depends on attribution. If you look in platform, it's like a 3 trillion % ROAS. If you look at GA, it was kind of slightly under break even. So science. And if
you look at increment, and if you look at incrementality, if you look at a holdout, it's, you know, small lift, not as much as I think we were expecting.
Yeah, I think it's tricky, right? There's this variable where, you know, you're launching something that's once a year. So you're looking at customers that haven't purchased in 200 to 365 days, but you're also kind of launching the most exciting event of the year and an event that usually kind of pushes people to wake up. So it's a good test. I think we're excited about testing it for product launches. We're excited about testing it for re-engagement. But I think broadly it was like a slight increase in rate of purchase, a slight increase in AOV, a slight increase in RPR, which is revenue per recipient, and a slight increase in conversion, which makes sense. It was between 15 and 30% increase in conversion, which is a big bump, but it makes sense if somebody's seen your company mm-hmm. very recently on a card. But in terms of like, obviously we're comparing to a control that we paid zero to get in front of, and these people we paid money to get in front of. So if you look at incrementality, it wasn't great. That being said, it wasn't a loss.
I don't think we lost. I think if you look at GA, right, like definitely GA is not, you know, direct mail is not a click-based thing. So the fact that we kind of, let's say we broke even, had a, you know, a 0.8, all right, mm-hmm. in GA means if we spent, you know, random numbers, making them up, not actual numbers, 10K on this, we made probably, you know, 8K for in GA last click. What we
Which
did
is basically
we sent people
scanning
through,
that QR, right?
Yeah. So that's actually pretty good because the majority of the people, I think, I don't have a model for this, and I think this is where we need to, you know, have more experience, is like what percentage of the value is captured in that last click versus, you know, multi-touch and non-click based stuff. And we weren't using a discount code because we, you know, prefer not to. So I think that's the thing that kind of makes it difficult. But I think definitely can be confident that at least was break even or slightly better based on those GA numbers. I would imagine at least can double that conservatively, you know, because I don't think the majority of people are going to a QR code. But if anyone has any kind of data on what they've seen for their brand, please DM us. It would be definitely interesting to know. But yeah, I think the thought process, at least was my end, was why I recommended it. It was like, all right, this is like the time to try, 'cause this is our best offer of the year. If it doesn't work on this, it's not going to work on anything. But it almost could be like, well, anything is going to work on this. So it's like, it's hard to get a lift compared to the control because it did so well for the control. So now what we're going to do is we're going to test again on a product launch, different kind of segments, mostly, you know, retention type plays, and see what kind of lift it has, go from there. And then we can kind of evaluate, do we want to test it outside of any type of launch period? And then we might be able to better isolate factors for that.
Yep. I'm on board with all of it. So we'll mess around. Cool. We'll test it again in the new year and continue kind of pushing forth and reporting our learnings on the testies.
Yeah. Nice little test. One more thing. We didn't do that.
Next week.
Oh, shit. We got to do it. Let's do that next week. We got a lot we got to get to. We got to get to that next week. We can talk about VIPs. One quick thing. So I was thinking about it. We had like a big meeting where we were reviewing our product categories for the year. And I had this thought. So, you know, to us, people actually buy our tools, right? Our mm-hmm. Spatula, our stuff like that.
Brushes.
And I think it actually helps get more value out of the product. So post-purchase, pre-purchase, we can definitely recommend them and stuff like that. And there's a big correlation that we found between what we're offering and upselling and people actually taking it, you know? So mm-hmm. it matters. And you and I talked about post-purchase and we're not the biggest fan. Would you be open to, if this was a possibility, instead of having a post-purchase upsell that takes up the whole page and it's like special offer, you have to buy it right now, if it was just like a widget embedded on a normal Shopify confirmation page, so you still see your order went through, you still know everything's okay, but it's just like the same size as like the post-purchase survey or something like that, that was like a one-click upsell there with no offer, no discount, no urgency, was just like, hey, this might also go really well with what you just bought.
I don't know. I mean, my largest problem with post-purchase upsell wasn't the size of the widget. But that being said, I think it's
See, but partly it is because it's not the page you expect to land on. It's like, it's kind of
You're saying
like
it's not as aggressive.
It's not as aggressive. It's kind of like, yeah.
I'm trying to think like if I saw that as a customer and it wasn't like buy it now, you have 10 seconds or like 90% off, or like if it was just like easily add this to your order versus like if you don't buy this, a turtle is going to die.
I think it's kind of just like, hey, this will help you get more out of what you just bought.
Yeah, I don't think that's an awful idea.
Yeah. The only thing is like the take rate would be pretty low on that compared to a normal one. Also, I've heard that there are like, for whatever reason, like technology, like limitations with that. So I don't even know if it works properly. Apparently like the native one, Shopify, that's like, that's before you get to the page. Mm-hmm. So it's added to the same order. This one, there's like fulfillment issues. It either gets, you have to do a new order, which is fucking stupid, or it gets added to the same one, but you have to hold fulfillment. So it's not even worth it. I just thought it was an interesting idea.
So with Cart Hook, which is what we used at Ollie, we would basically hold orders for 15 minutes in Shopify. Okay. They do it through Shopify. The Shopify holds the order before it even pushes to NetSuite for 15 minutes, and it's basically a pending order until 15 minutes, and then it closes. Which it always was on the same order. We had a struggle with Ohi. We were using them for same day delivery, and they were pulling separately, so it was coming in as two orders. So we looped in Ohi and Cart Hook, and they kind of worked together on an API fix there to make sure that it held it for one order. Yeah. But
I don't think we'll do it. I don't think it's worth it. I just thought it was an interesting concept.
It's like a lot of it is very depending on like, is this actually, I think a spatula on WTF, it's like really difficult to use without it, right? So that's like, this will easily impact your whatever. But if it's like you bought a Miracle Balm, if you don't have a mascara, then fish will die. Like, I think that's just outlandish. Yeah, yeah. But
it would be like, imagine if you came to our store and you bought it at our store and the store and you walked out with the foundation. And I was like, oh shit, Eli, like, I want to make sure Eli gets the most out of this. And I run after you. I'm like, hey, like, do you want the spatula? And you'd be like, oh yeah, sure. I'm like, all right, cool. All right, cool. Can I charge it on that same card?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that if it's like very, very used together and not just an excuse to upsell with scarcity, like if it feels reasonable, I think that's,
you still think it's cringe, be honest.
No, I think that it depends how it comes off. Like, I think but I think I'm also like, I'm extremely, extremely atypical when it comes to this. Cause I'm like a crazy cuckoo shopper. So I think I'm not like the average person here. Like if you ask five people, they'd probably all say like, yeah, that's amazing. That sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I hear you. All right. Well, I think that's it. I think that's it for the show.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see you next week. We'll talk about our winners of the mentor pass, as well as Cody and I bickering on Slack about what VIPs are. And if there's anything else you want to hear us chat about,
I think we should chat about like software. I think I get a lot of questions like what our favorite tools are and everything.
So as long as we take a shot for every time you say attribution or incrementality.
Deal.
And fine. I'll see you next week.
So we'll talk about our tools and let's do it.
Bye.